بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين، وقال تعالى فاستقم كما أمرت. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزيدنا علما. Respected ulama ikram, Allah's beloved brother in Islam, we all aware that this is the last few, these are the last few moments of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Very few hours left. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever ibadat was done. The tilawat of Quran, the khatamat, the dhikrullah, the sadaqat, and all the other, the rawi salah, the i'tikaf. And this is what we should be begging for acceptance. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam is a very, very special, great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to build the Kaaba, as we know. And after that, such a great amal, and who can doubt his sincerity? But still, after completing the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the task that was appointed to him, that was given to him, he still begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Oh Allah, you accept from us. So this is what we should keep in mind. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. After all, we all know, you can never match the sincerity of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. How sincere they were, and the level of their deeds, yet they're still asking for acceptance. So how much more we should ask for acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then together with that, to make istighfar. We learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and various a'mal are done. Towards the end of it, istighfar is prescribed to us. Every day we are reading salah. The last dua we making before we terminate our salah is Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istighfar, for forgiveness. Zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfir li maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. Then you see this in other actions as well. When a person performs the height of Hajj, the pinnacle of Hajj, which is Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. If there's no Arafah, there's no Hajj. Person can fulfill all other rites of Hajj, but if he doesn't go to Arafah, his Hajj is not accepted. So, even then too, after that amal of making wukuf at Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to make istighfar. So, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance, and make a lot of istighfar. This Mubarak month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the whole objective, the whole theme, as we have been hearing from before Ramadan, during Ramadan, and we'll continue to hear after the month of Ramadan, is this taqwa. This taqwa is Allah consciousness. Very simply put, to be aware that Allah is watching us at all times, and to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of taqwa. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, created us, human being, mankind, for one purpose. That is to make his ibadat, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْمُدُونَ. I haven't created jinkind, I haven't created insan, except so that they worship me. So this worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only for the month of Ramadan. This taqwa is not only for the month of Ramadan. Rather, it's throughout the year, throughout our lives. The ayat that was read just now in the khutbah, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death comes to you. And another verse Allah says, be steadfast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, it applies to us as well. That be steadfast in what you have been commanded. So this taqwa should continue, this ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should continue after the Mubarak month of Ramadan. We all know, if a person does one or two business transactions, he won't be called a businessman. In our circles, end of the year, if a person trades, it's peak season, he does one, two deals, he does one, two transactions, we won't call him a businessman. A businessman is a person who does business throughout the year. So we are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the year, we are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not abd of the month of Ramadan. Rather, we are abd of Ar-Rahman. We are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely, a person will not be able to keep up that same momentum and that same level of a'mal. The tilawat of Quran will not be on that same level, the dhikrullah, etc. But nonetheless, these a'mal should continue after the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Once a person came to Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah, famous personality, many of us may have heard him, very, very senior personality, inshallah, very, very pious person as well. So somebody spent a lot of time in his company, many, many years, and all of a sudden he decided to leave. So he asked him, what happened? He said, I haven't seen anything in you, something extraordinary. Many times we're looking for a pious person, we think that some miracle may be performed at his hands. This is not necessary. In fact, at times we see, when Dajjal will come also, he'll perform many miracles. So this piety, this miracle, performing of miracles is not a gauge of a person's piety. Rather, his steadfastness on deen, on Quran, on sunnah, the commands of Allah, the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he asked this person that, okay, you didn't see me performing any miracle, but tell me, in all this time that you spend in my company, did you see me going against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, no, that I haven't seen. He said, what greater miracle do you want than that? So the mashayikh, the ulama, they mentioned that al-istiqama fawqa alfi karama. That to be steadfast is greater than 1,000 miracles. So this is the test after the Mubarak month of Ramadan. One sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me something, give me a statement, give me some advice in Islam that I won't ask anyone anything after that. So after all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been given this gift, this miracle of Jawami'ul Kalim. Very, very comprehensive. Forget the entire oceans, forget a teacup, the entire ocean Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would condense even in a teaspoon. This is how comprehensive Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So he told him, say, Amantu billah, fastaqim. Say, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remain steadfast. So our iman, our amal, everything must be intact. So the test now begins after the month of Ramadan. And as we are mentioning now, that they are not seasonal worshippers. We find this theme in our deen, that from one ibadat to the next ibadat. Tonight is the night of Eid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person who man qama laylatil eidain mustahsiban lillah lam yamut qalbuhu yawma tamutul qulub. A person who keeps this night of these two nights of Eid, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, in the worship of Allah, he keeps awake in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his heart will not die when all the other hearts will die. That is the day of Qiyamah. So we find this theme throughout. After one ibadah to the next, immediately after the month of Ramadan is the days of Hajj, from the first of Shawwal. So as mentioned now, that our ibadah is for the rest of our lives, throughout our lives, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this taqwa, as we've been hearing all the time, is an incident of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhumah. He was with his companions in the desert, very, very hot, extremely hot day. And there was a shepherd that was passing by them with a whole herd of animals. So he asked this person that, will you join us for some meals? So he says, I'm fasting. He said, why are you fasting? So hot. So what a hot day it is. So he mentions to him, this is for Ayyamul Khaliyah. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Quran. Kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliyah. That eat and drink, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the inhabitants of Jannah, for the days gone by, which you prepared for in this world, that you made effort in this dunya, you worship me, you made my ibadat, etc. The meaning of all this ayat, that I'm preparing for that day. So Umar radiallahu anhu decides to test the waters. So he tells him that, you know what, you've got many animals, can you sell us one? We'll slaughter it, and then you can maybe share with us in the meals. So he said, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my master. Right? It belongs to my master. So he decides to test him. He says that, yeah, your master is not around. It's common occurrence that when they are in a situation like this, that one wolf devours one animal, you can just tell him that. So he says, then, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu becomes ecstatic and he starts repeating this. فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ So this is this whole taqwa about in the month of Ramadan, out of the month of Ramadan, whatever the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are directed towards us, we should fulfill that. In the words of Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Bhatti rahimahullah, he should give this famous example that it can be a few minutes before iftar and a person of weak iman maybe, But he knows it's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to break the fast at sunset. So they can be the greatest mufti, the greatest alim, tell him, you know, but you kept fast the whole day. What does it matter? You just break your fast a few minutes before. They say, no, this is the command, this is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we like that in every other aspect of our life. What is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is that taqwa. Taqwa, the essence of it is to give up all the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give up every sin. This is the essence of taqwa. The poet says, خَلِّ الدُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى. Leave and abandon all sins, whether minor or major sins, that is taqwa. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. Become like that person who treads on a very thorny part. He's very cautious, he's very aware where he's treading upon. He mustn't get injured. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. Don't look down and regard as insignificant any small, what we may term small, any minor thing, any small sin, we can call, if you want to call it that. Verily the mountains are a collection of stones. So every disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be abandoned and should be given up. And this is the essence of taqwa in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that if you want to become the greatest worshipper, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. You stay away from every disobedience from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll become the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times we engage in nafil ibadat, but at the same time, we disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama mentioned there's a maxim amongst the jurists which states, daf'ul mafasid awla min jalbil masalih. That to repel harm is greater than gaining benefit. So, more important than the nafil, not to say that's not important, but more important from the wafil is to stay away from the disobedience of Allah, to stay away from all sins. This to give us an example of this to our understanding. A person may be performing lengthy rakats in a masjid, but his vehicle is blocking in the parking. So he's causing taklif to somebody. He's causing inconvenience. So on the one hand, he's performing nafil ibadah, which is very, very good. Not to say it should be shunned, but at the same time, he's causing taklif to somebody else. So this is a simple example for us to understand this principle. Maybe a person has elderly parents and they need his assistance and there is no arrangement for them. They can't make any arrangement for somebody to look after them. He wants to go for a nafil umrah, for example. Now, more important than going for the nafil umrah is to see to the needs of his parents. Obviously, if arrangements can be made, that's another story altogether. But if there's no arrangement that can be made and nobody to look after them, more important for him is to look after and serve his parents. So, daf'ul mafasid awla min jalbil masalih. So, to leave all types of sin and at the height of it, sins can be categorized into many, many categories. Sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of the heart. There are many, many, this whole long list the ulama mentioned of all different types of sins. So we should learn these things. The list of sins so that we can stay away from these things. At the height of it is to abandon our salah. This is one of the greatest sins that a person can ever commit, to leave salah. We all know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen. Allah speaks about him in Quran. Many, many incidents. We are aware of the mercy and compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rarely cursed. But there were occasions, ulama mentioned, where he did curse. And amongst them was when it comes to salah. In the battle of Khandaq, due to the situation, the certain salah were missed. And this was to teach the ummah that what should be done if this ever happens. At all costs, we should never ever miss our salah. But if whatever happened, this occurred, then how to cover up? So on that occasion, few salah were missed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the mushrikeen. He said, may Allah fill their bellies with the fire of Jahannam. The salah was missed. So this was one occasion where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed. So the height of sin, the worst sin, amongst the worst sins is a person who leaves his salah. Ulama mentioned, although it's not the preferred view, but just to give us understanding, to highlight the importance of this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned now, it's not the preferred view, but senior ulama mentioned, and amongst them, even sahaba radiallahu anhum, that a person who leaves out his salah is not regarded as a Muslim. So this is how severe it is. So all of us should make intention, myself firstly, that from today, never ever to leave our 5 times daily salah. And this is our protection. speaking about istiqamah, steadfastness, if a person is attached to the masjid with his 5 times daily salah, then inshallah with this great hope that he will remain steadfast, he'll be on the straight path. Yes, we are all insan, we are human beings, we make mistakes. But salah is such a potential, such a capacity in it that it prevents a person from wrongdoings. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a complaint which had come to him that a certain person is performing salah, but he got some bad habits as well. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, soon his salah will wean him of this evil habit. Allah mentions in Quran, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah will save you from all obscenity, all lewdness. So this is the power of salah. So take out time to perform it correctly. So many years have gone by. Perhaps we are reciting the same surahs. The level of our recitation is still the same. The postures are still the same. We shouldn't be content. We should work on it, improve on it. So this is the height of the sins, is where we leave out our salah. Then as mentioned now, there are many other types of sins. Sins of the heart. Sometimes you don't even realize they are sins, that a person is harboring malice for his fellow Muslim brother. This is a great sin. We find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to the sins of the heart, sometimes it's expressed in such a way that although the end result is the same, that a person, it is our belief, it is our aqeedah, the person who dies on iman, definitely inshallah, if for some reason or the other he had to go via Jahannam, Allah protect us all, this person will eventually go to Jannah. But some sins are expressed in such a way, for example, pride. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says a person who has an atom's weight of pride, very small amount of pride, he'll never enter Jannah. The ulama will explain to us that it's the end result is the same. If a person passed away with pride, for example, but he was a Muslim, eventually he will go to Jannah. But this is how this was expressed in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are many sins. Sometimes we are unaware that they are sins. So to abandon and shun all sins, this is the essence of taqwa. Then, what's going to help us? Now this taqwa, this staying away from sin, it requires a lot of courage. In the month of Ramadan, Allah facilitated it for us, made it easy for us. The shayateen were tied up. It was much more easier for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from sin. But after the month of Ramadan, we know how it is. There's no environment, there's no good company sometimes. There's a lack of tilawat. All these things affect a person's spiritual self, and it becomes difficult for a person to come onto the fara'id. So, it requires a lot of mujahada, a lot of strife, a lot of struggle, a lot of effort. There's nothing, we all understand this principle, when a person wants to achieve something, there has to be some effort. So, likewise, to abandon sin, this requires that inner strength, it requires that mujahada. A person, sometimes he will be tempted, not to say that a person will never be tempted. Those who became close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the initial lives, they went through a lot of sacrifice, a lot of difficulty. They were also tempted by temptation, by sins, wrongdoings, but they bore that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then eventually with time, when this is done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a pleasure. And then they'll find sweetness in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with that, so the mujahada is, this effort is crucial. This is fundamental. But what will assist us in making this mujahada? So there are many, many things the mashayikh and the ulama ikram mentioned. The consistency on the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes many, many forms. The masnoon du'as is also the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this we should be learning. Sometimes a person learns the same du'a that he was taught in maktab maybe. But there are many other du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. Just by means of example, a person is going to sleep. We only know Allahumma bismika amutu ahya. Yes, definitely, it's a du'a. And we should recite this. But there are many other du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us before we sleep. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa kafana wa awana. Fakam mimman la kafiya lahu wa la mu'ya. And find out from the ulama ikram, this has such deep meaning behind these du'as. Such great amount of ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these du'as. So the masnoon du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to keep up with that. And sometimes we may think to ourselves, okay, it's not fard. Yes, it may not be fard. Technically, in that sense, it may not be fard. The person who leaves it out, he won't be sinful. But at the same time, he'll lose great benefit. He will lose great benefit by not reciting these du'as. And he'll be prone to the attacks of shaitan. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions a person who enters his house and he recites the du'a to enter his house. And shaitan finds no accommodation in the house. A person, likewise, a person who is taking his meal, and he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan doesn't join him in that meal. If a person doesn't take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan enters his house, shaitan joins him in his meal. Then we want to know why we are being so driven in the wrong direction. Amongst the causes is that we are not particular about the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the masnoon du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the greatest adhkar is the Quran. The Quran Sharif, which we recite daily. We should recite daily in the month of Ramadan. This gives ajib strength to a person's soul. In the month of Ramadan, we are accustomed to it. So don't give up the recitation of Quran. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the hearts get rusted. Just like how iron gets rusted when water is put to it. So what's the cleanser of the hearts? It was asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, excessive remembrance of death and recitation of Quran. So this Quran is a means of our protection. To gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'll give us this inner strength to make that mujahada and to stay away from sin, which is the essence of taqwa. Then together with that, in the same hadith, it was mentioned about excessive remembrance of death. So this should be our daily practice. And this will stop a person. A person will be tempted. A person will be tempted to do wrong. This is dunya after all. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, حُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِ وَحُجِبَتِ النَّارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. That Jannah has been veiled and has been ringed with difficulties. It's not easy. And the fire of Jahannam has been ringed, has been veiled with shahawat. A person does whatever he wishes, whatever he feels to do, he does. But a person has to make that mujahada. So it's not easy. But initially it's a struggle. But when these a'mal take place, then this will assist us to make that mujahada and to stay on the path of istiqama, to stay on the path of taqwa. So the frequent remembrance of death. As Ali radiallahu anhu passes by a grave, he is with his one companion, Kumail rahimahullah. And he also, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the Salafus Salihin, they found this need to think about death. In fact, this was the direct teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّانِ. That remember frequently, in abundance, the cutter of all pleasures, that is death. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu found the need to do this. Salafus Salihin, how much more we need to find, we have this need to remember death every day. This will stop a person. It will assist him to make that mujahada. It will keep him on the path of istiqama and taqwa. Yes, a person will be tempted as mentioned. But if a person has these amal in place, this will assist him to make that mujahada, to fight his nafs and to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the frequent remembrance of death. Ali radiallahu anhu, nonetheless, he's passing by this grave, he's with his companion, and he's making this muraqabah. He's speaking, so to say, speaking to the people of the grave, that the news from our side is this, that your wives have become widows, your children have become orphans, your wealth has been distributed. What is the news from your side? So he's addressing, he's making this muraqabah, in other words, he's meditating upon death. So he turns to his companion, Kumail, and he says, Kumail, if these people could speak, they will tell us that the greatest provision for the year after is taqwa. Same thing what we're trying to achieve. Person who fasted correctly, inshallah, he must have achieved somewhat of this quality, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So he says to his companion, this is the greatest provision. And the grave is a container of deeds. A person will only realize after he leaves this world, the reality of this will dawn upon him. To meditate upon death on a daily basis. So the masnoon du'as, Quran, the excessive remembrance of death. So these are some of the adhkar, the Quran Sharif, the tasbihat. So many tasbihat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us, sunnah practices, that start off with a little, for example, but do it consciously. The masnoon du'as, do it consciously. Do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consciously. After Fard Salah, for example, what we know as the tasbih Fatimi. Subhanallah 33 times, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. With that consciousness, this will create that nur and that spiritual, the inner in a person, so that he can stay away from the disobedience from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mashayikh have a statement that dhikr ka naga ruka faqa. That a person who doesn't make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is starvation for the soul. So a person, like a person who doesn't eat food, perhaps one day he can make it. After that you'll see him losing his energy, falling flat. He can't continue anymore. Can't even think straight. So a person who doesn't make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he won't be able to resist. As mentioned, maybe certain things are not fard per se. A person won't be sinful, but there's great loss, there's deprivation if a person doesn't continue with these a'mal. Then together with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very, very quickly, that you stay in the right company, right environment. This we have seen so glaringly in the month of Ramadan, that what effect it has on a person. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to us the meaning of which is good company is likened to a person, a musk seller. Even if he doesn't get that musk, some benefit, he'll get that fragrance. Likewise, evil company like a blacksmith, even if he, whatever protection he takes, he'll still come out with that smell. So to stay in a good company, there are so many incidents of what company does to a person. And in our times, company is not only restricted to human company. The device that everyone has in his hand, in his pocket, and many devices like that, this is also company. What a person reads, he's in the company of that author. This is why we should consult the ulama ikram. This fadail a'mal, you take it as a light kitab, sometimes a talim taking place in a masjid. But to sit with that adab, with that talab, to gain that what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling me, so that I can move forward. So sometimes it may be from another, we should be very wary, we should be cautious, consult the ulama. Sometimes we just read anything. And at times it may be, the text may be correct as well. There's an incident of a great alim of the recent past, Allama Khalid Mahmood, rahimahullah. He was an expert in defending deen when he came to the deviated groups. So he mentions that, give me a text from a certain person's name was from one of the deviated groups, Maududi. So that person, anyway, cut a long story short, he said, give me a text, don't even tell me where it comes. Whose book it is, and but it must be such that this text what you are giving me is 100% correct. That the hadith you're quoting, or the Quranic ayat you're quoting, the explanation is correct. I can tell you that this is this person's kitab. So one, you may think of yourself, then maybe that he bartered it. No. That nur, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person to discern the right from wrong. So this is why we should consult the ulama, have this ta'lim in the house, these basic kitabs, not that we're going to learn something new, but to refreshen and to renew our iman, so that we can stay on this path of istiqamah. So this ta'lim should take place, this good company, the ta'lim, the company in the form of what we read, and to stay away from the bad company as well. So two things, to adopt good company and stay away from bad company at the same time. Then, to stay in the company of the mashayikh, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if one has the opportunity, availability, then to make some time, because all this is environment and good company, and this will help us to stay on the straight path. And to stay away from the means of sin as well. We mentioned now about the phone. To stay away from the means of sin. So if we, this is also very, very important. If there is a child who has two, 3 year old child who got a very, very sharp knife in his hand, what is the natural reaction of all of us? We'll take it away from the child immediately. The child doesn't know how to use the knife. Yes, it's very beneficial, but he doesn't know how to use it. By and large, most of the ummah, Allah protect, illa mashallah, very few people get caught in this fitna. So, if we can do without it, if it's coming to our iman and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the cost of our akhirat, if it means giving that up, even if you lose a bit of dunya, no problem. But give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the most important. There's, sometimes we think, what am I saying? But we find this in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. We find support for this. There was a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As. Radiallahu anhu. So he was wearing some saffron colored sheet. And they were on a journey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disapproved of it. He didn't like it. So he realized that. So he immediately went and he took that sheet out. And when he went home, he burnt it into the fire. He threw it into the fire. He destroyed it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him again. He said, what happened to that sheet? He destroyed it. He said, you should have given it to someone else. This was the level of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So this is support for that. A person, that phone is taking away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is costing his akhirat. How many times a person got caught in that filth, in that, whatever he's watching on that phone. If it's taking away, if it's costing him his akhirat, destroy the phone, give it up. And live a life, may cost you some dunya, but give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the greater need. Then obviously, last but not least, to make earnest dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything happens with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all dependent on the mercy, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us this lesson. That to keep us on the straight path. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wa-al-afafa wa-al-ghina. Amongst the many du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, many, many other du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just to recap very quickly, our objective in this world is to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month of Ramadan was given to us as a booster. But we are not worshippers of the month of Ramadan. We are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the month of Ramadan. Throughout the year, not only in the month of Ramadan. So the test now is this istiqamah, to keep steadfast on our deen. And for that, after the month of Ramadan, a lot of mujahada, more mujahada is required. And this is the standard, that it will never happen without sacrifice. But what will assist us to keep on the sacrifice, on the straight path, to make this mujahada, is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance, in all its forms, Quran, masnoon du'as, remembrance of death. Then, also together with that, good company, good environment, this will also assist us to make that mujahada. And then dua, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time to keep us under His protection. And to stay in a good company, we mentioned also what is company, not only restricted to human company. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the ability to practice, to keep us all, grant us istiqamah on deen, istiqamah on our tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulty of the entire ummah throughout the world of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We shouldn't forget the ummah at any stage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a very beautiful month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us aman. There are so many parts in the world. Every day we're hearing of a new place. Palestine, how many years gone by? Sudan, so many other places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Eid they must be having. So not to forget the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now du'as. Yes, ulama mentioned, enjoy the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to remember the ummah as well in our du'as. Don't waste the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn the tables. Many incidents in history where things were going very, very well. And the disobedience of Allah was carrying on side by side. For us, we shouldn't look at it. We shouldn't look at them with the eye that maybe they disobeyed Allah. No. For us, we should take a lesson that this is their test. Allah, remove their test. But what disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in my life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not turn the tables. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us under His protection, remove the difficulties of the ummah, keep us on istiqamah after the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana.